Let's do just a very quick review from this morning. Pastor mentioned, and I probably didn't make it real clear, but the Baptist distinctives are written down with the acronym BABDIS. And the first four that we talked about this morning, B is the Bible is the sole authority, and that ought to go without saying. Number two, A, the autonomy or independence of a separate church. And we are a separate church. We're not like the run-of-the-mill church. There's something about Baptists that are distinctive in our operation, and let's be careful not to be arrogant about it. Okay, we preach about it, and we got convictions about it, but let's face it, we're not the only ones going to heaven. Remember what the Lord said when the disciples came and said, here's one trying to cast out devils in your name, or whatever it was when he was preaching. And he said, if he's with us, he's not against us. Let him go. So this is not to condemn every Bible preaching church that's non-Baptist. I'm all for them. Amen. If they get souls saved and they're going to heaven, and I'm all for it. But I am also for Bible purity. Amen. Purity in church, purity in my soul, and so on. And when we know what the Bible says, then we need to act upon it. And not as if we're a step ahead of people. Just thank God he's revealed some things to us. Amen. Amen. Number three was P, the priesthood of the believer. And this is one of the major, major breakaway from the Catholic Church. The priests and the fathers and all that. And having to go through them. And I'm going to talk about some things in the Catholic Church tonight that's almost forgotten about in modern time, but it shows the makeup of the church. And the first T in Baptist, two officers, we talked about that, the pastor and the deacon. And I hope that sunk in on you. When everything is right in the church, the pastor is the leader. We are the sheep under the shepherd, and we follow his leadership. It doesn't mean that he's lords over us and cracking a whip, but he's out there leading us in ways we should go. And unless he goes contrary to Scripture, we need to be followers. Amen. Now, if it goes contrary to Scripture, and has a girlfriend on the side, or he steals money out of the offerings or stuff, I say dump him in a New York second. And you don't give him a second chance on things like that. Amen? So, but as long as they're doing what's right, what they've been called of God to do, then do it. We started the message this morning. Let me go again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 57, and 58. But thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor's not in vain. These two verses have been my life verses. The older I get, I don't memorize verses like I did when I was young, but ones that I memorized when I was young, they're up here, and God can bring them to recall for me, and I'm thankful for that. And that's been my life verse, and I've made that the theme of what we're talking about today. Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What's the work of the Lord? Being obedient to this word. And I believe that we as independent fundamental Baptists, we're not perfect, but we make this book the rule of faith of everything that we do and everything that we are to the best of our ability. Are we perfect in it? Absolutely not. We'll get to heaven, probably find out that somewhere along the line, man's opinion got inserted in it. And that's what happens with a lot of religion. Man's opinion gets inserted. But boy, when you go to a verse, chapter and verse, remember the preacher said today, you want to tell me I'm wrong? give me a chapter and verse. When I'm telling you you're wrong, I'll give you a chapter and verse. If chapter and verse says so, I'm going to stand with God and not with the world. Now, I like Baptist history. Let me give you some names. I mentioned this morning I want to get some names. I'm not going to read biographies on these. I just want to read names so that you become somewhat familiar with them in Baptist history. Isaac Backus was a Baptist historian, Baptist representative to the Continental Congress. Do you realize the religious liberty and freedom that we've got in America was because of Baptist people that influenced the Continental Congress and the leaders that were there? Daniel Boone, frontiersman. Squire Boone, Baptist pastor and brother of Daniel Boone. John Bunyan was a Baptist, the one that wrote Pilgrim's Progress. They wanted him to recant, brought his family and tried to promote and to encourage him to recant. And he spent two different terms in prison, 13 years, and that's where he wrote numerous books, including Pilgrim's Progress, the most read fictional book of all history. A Baptist. Imagine that.
Right.
William Cathcart, Baptist historian, Baptist encyclopedia. I've got a whole list of them. I'm just reading some that really stand out to me. John Gano, chaplain for Washington's army, petitioned Continental Congress for the Baptists, founded the First Baptist Church of New York City. Obadiah Holmes. I always say that name with the most reverence. Beaton, up in New England area, left New England area and down into the hills of the Virginias and Carolinas. Baptist pastor, friend of John Clark, beaten for preaching. Over 5,000 churches established under the ministry of this man, many of which are still active churches today.
Amen.
Thank God for them. Adoniram Judson, missionary. John Leland, Bill of Rights, strong Virginian politician and pastor, friend of Madison and Jefferson. Daniel Marshall, great evangelist, worked with Shubal Stearns. That's another name that we reverence. Isaac McCoy. Missionary to the Indians. Made 13 trips by horseback to D.C. about giving the Indians land for reservation. I've got to correct myself. Obadiah Holmes and Shubal Stearns were compatriots. Shubal Stern is the one that's credited with starting 5,000 churches. Obadiah Holmes was one that went with him down there and was a very much a helper he was the one that was beaten with stripes on his back. Isaac McCoy, missionary, just talked. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, this is probably the most familiar name that to you and I on here. Prince of Preachers, pastored the great Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle. J. Hudson Taylor, missionary. Shubal Stearns, Sandy Creek Revival. 5,000 churches came out of his church in Sandy Creek, down in the Appalachian area. That's the heritage that we come from. Please, please, don't take it lightly. America is being torn apart from the top and torn apart from the bottom because of religion. And more than religion, I say, because of Baptist influence. They despise us. It ought to make us put our chest out and say, going to be a little bit stronger. The more they detest us, the more we want to do. I want to make an impact for someone, somewhere, that'll last for eternity. Amen. So we talked about the B, A, P, and T. Now comes the first I, number five. Individual soul liberty and security of the believer. Individual soul liberty. You see, the Catholic Church, you were not allowed to think what you want based on this book. You were told by the church, this is it. And I mean, they had, and they had the catechism, and you marked down and you marched in step with what they said, right or wrong. That was the law of the church. But there's always been those that believed in individual soul liberty. I am at liberty to live my life according to this book, not according to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You see, a lot of people around this neighborhood think Blessed Hope is a legalistic church. They slap their hands and you guys get in lockstep with us. How many of you are doing that? They don't understand it. They do not understand the Bible. We voluntarily put ourselves under the authority of our pastor and the guidance of the Word of God. But we live. Now, we have the ability to make individual decisions. There are some things that are thou shalt and thou shalt not. We're not at liberty to change the Word of God. But there are things in this world that some Christians don't do as a matter of biblical conviction and some preference. There's some things that other people do that understand the same Bible, but they don't participate in the same way. See, I travel all across the country, and our church has a high standard for pastor, deacons, Sunday school teachers, bus workers, nursery workers, dress codes, and things like that. If you go out on vacation and you go in, many good, independent, Bible-preaching Baptist churches, you may be shocked at some things you see. Okay? And when I say shocked, I don't mean they're ungodly looking with a preacher up here with things hanging out of his nose and bars in his... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just a little bit of dress code difference that we're not used to here. But that doesn't make them any less a Baptist church. That's individual soul liberty. And the church has the umbrella covering of that local assembly to establish the guidelines and do the things like that. But as far as us, we have soul liberty. You may watch some TV programs that I wouldn't turn on. I may do some things and maybe go some places let me just give you an illustration. Now, I want to be open and honest with you. I know some preachers will not eat at a restaurant that sells liquor. I've got an Applebee's card. I get a 15% discount. And a lot of times, now I don't do it around here, but when I'm traveling out in places and I'm lonely I'm not going there to look to pick up anything, but I'm going there to watch a ball game. And I'll sit in a place that some of you would not go. Now, am I wrong? Are you right? We'll find out when we get to heaven. But I don't drink a beer, and I don't do things. I'm just sitting there eating my chicken strips Have you ever bought the brownie dessert at Applebee's? Let me tell you, that brownie dessert, it's two chunks of brownies about like this and two huge scoops of ice cream. That's one serving of that brownie. And I love it. I eat one about every week. Not quite that often, but I do like them. And see, that's what I'm talking about, individual soul liberty. Now, if we're going to participate in Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we place ourselves under the umbrella of the guidelines and so on. Now, we also have the security of the believer. And that is this, that my salvation is not dependent upon what I do or what I don't do. There's a book out of West Coast Baptist College called Done. It's a little booklet they pass out. Christ did it on Calvary. And it's done. There's nothing you can add to it to bring salvation. All you can do is believe it and receive it. And the security of the believer is this, that once you are saved, you are in the family of God. We're very secure in that. And we then can make decisions on how to live. And hopefully when we make mistakes, and we're going to, it'll be a growing process. In 1 John 3, 1 and 2, these are a couple of my favorite verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You see, they look at us like a bunch of weirdos. Thank God I wear that term very, very proudly. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This old decrepit body, this old hard-hearing man, this old guy with bad feet, what do you call it, neuropathy. Brother Sam had it, and the pastor said, get him a seat out there. I sympathized with it. Up here, now it didn't hurt until I just mentioned it. Sam said it didn't hurt him, but once it was over, once you start preaching, the adrenaline flowing. Okay, but we're going to be like him. What's that mean? This old corruptible is going to absolutely not be a struggle to put off, but it's going to be left behind. Amen. 1 John 5:11 is a very great portion of scripture. I'm going to have to hurry along. And this is the record God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have everlasting life. It's not a matter of us, do I choose this or if I choose this, is God going? No, we have the ability to do that. And God gives us the ability to make mistakes. But he also gives us the conviction to correct them. But we're his children. Jesus died once for all. We're born into the family of God. Being born again is to receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, let me warn you about that. Being a Baptist doesn't mean we can go out and live like we want to live, because some other scriptures talk about that. So I'm saved, and I couldn't lose it now if I wanted to. Well, any idiot's not going to want to lose it. There is a sin unto death in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. That sin unto death cannot be committed by a dead person. They're already dead. Okay? But it can be committed by us who are believers, who have been saved. And that sin unto death can mean a physical death. Now, an unsaved person can sin unto death too. I missaid that. They actually can. God's taken even unsaved people off this earth for purpose. But he'll also take believers. If we let our life get in such a shape that we're unrecognizable as God's child, he's not going to leave us here to be a detriment to the cause of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and specifically verse 5, is about a man in the Corinthian church who was living in adultery with his stepmother. And remember, Paul wrote to the church and chided them for it, for not even being upset about it. They were puffed up. It was like, that's a way of life. Well, that's about the way American churches are today. Paul admonished them to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. If he was a child of God, he was backslidden. Yeah, you mark that down. Also, 1 Corinthians 15, 11 to 15, at the judgment seat of Christ, it says that some will be judged, and it's all going to be burning up like wood, hay, and stubble, but they shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, just barely going to make it by the skin of their teeth. They're saved, they've got eternal life, but there will be no rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. So don't ever get eternal security mixed up with the thing that you can go out and live like you want to, because God will bring judgment on you.
That's right.
I wish I could preach a whole message on this next one now. Separation. That's B-A-P-T-I, individual soul liberty, S, separation of church and state. Today, separation of church and state is saying the church is over here and the state's over here, and neither shall the twain ever meet. And that's not what separation of church and state was. Separation of church and state was to keep the state out of the church. Godly people need to be in government, but we've turned it over to the devil's crowd, and now there's a great gulf in between. But we need godly people that are being governed. Now, is government the answer? No, Christ is the answer. But if we can get godly people over here in government to help direct the government, and that's what America was back in the early days, Christian men, signers of the Declaration of Independence and proponents of the U.S. Constitution, based upon Christian conviction. That's why America has been blessed for 200 and maybe 200 years. I'm not sure about the last 17 years or whatever, last 30, 40 years, things are going down. So the separation of church and state means that the state is not to be a hierarchy over the church. The church does not answer to the state. The church answers to Christ and this book and that alone. And if the government oversteps their boundary, we are bound by this book to rebel against it. But we're not allowed to rebel against it just because they step on our toes and make us obey the laws. You know, there's laws on the books that are good, speed laws. The older you get, the more you obey them. But there's other laws. We don't go out and kill our enemies, do we? Because that's the law of the state. It's also the law of the Bible. And that's what separation of church and state is. The Catholic Reformed philosophy. And when I say Catholic Reformed, specifically I'm talking about Presbyterianism. We look at the Presbyterian Church today just, it's another denomination. They are our arch enemies. Not the people, but the hierarchy that's in it and what they want. We have soul liberty, but the state also has the ability to enforce right living. In other words, we don't kill, we don't speed, we don't steal, and do the things like that. Since America started and before, Baptists have maintained church and government should be separate entities, respective of each other, but neither controlled by the other. Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey the magistrates, to read and to every good work. Now let me read you something. This, and I never read this before, until just these last few weeks. This book, The Coming Destruction of the Baptist People, written by James Beller. James Beller is a pastor, a friend of our pastor. He's dead now, but he used to pastor over either in St. Louis, in the St. Louis area somewhere. He's an authority on this type of stuff. Chapter 9, The Catholic Reformed and American Principles. American history has been intentionally hidden and rewritten. I was aware of that. I've known that what we're getting in modern day history, it's not even what I was taught 45 years ago, 50 years ago when I was in Bible college. World history and American history that you and I were taught has totally been obliterated. Very few have knowledge of the founding principles of American liberty, but even as good as we had it back when I was in school, there was very little about Baptist history. And yet that's what formed the establishment of the United States of America. He gives a website in here, www.freebooks.com. You can go and print out a lot of this material. The failure of the American Baptist culture. Now let me read some of the things that he's talking about on free expression. To be able to stand up and say whatever we want. We're seeing that abridged right now.
That's right.
You can say what you want if it matches up to what they okay. You can't preach against home. And you realize in Canada right now, there are Baptist preachers in jail tonight for preaching on homosexuality. It's just across the border from us. On free expression. When someone makes his conscience public, leads others into idolatry, this is what this hierarchy is saying, the Reformed Catholic. When someone makes his conscience, a Baptist preacher, public, and leads others into idolatry, blasphemy, adultery, and other such things, I think it becomes more than a private opinion. He's promoting a new public policy, and that, I think, should be stopped. I need to clarify what I said. That's not what a Baptist preacher would say. But there are people that are for free love, and free everything, and if the state considered that to be wrong, they say that's wrong, and the state ought to step in and do it. We're allowed by God's word and by the laws of the books to think even the vilest things we think. We're allowed to think them, and we're allowed to talk to them. We ought not be prosecuted for them. We ought to be preached to about them. On religious liberty. Some call it religious liberty. Others call it liberty of conscience. This guy, Craig S. Buckley, says, I call it trouble when we have religious liberty because we're contrary to what he is. Another one on religious liberty. The religious liberty, liberty of conscience, philosophy of religion, is contradictory and unbiblical, he says. I think we just showed that it's not. Religious liberty. When the liberty of conscience, religious liberty idea is allowed to run its full course, it leads inevitably to dissent and social disintegration, according to the Catholic Reformed. Well, what he's saying is they don't match up with what we want. We want them to think like us, to act like us, and to be a part of us. So anybody that promotes religious liberty, the preaching of God's word, contrary to what that is, a disintegrating society. On the Trinity, salvation, and authority. You see, if we really push the matter, then Baptists disagree with Catholics, Catholic Reformed, over such fundamental issues as the Trinity, the nature of salvation, and even the nature of biblical authority. That's what they say. On the rights of individuals, the idea of rights is the outgrowth of theories of government from Enlightenment humanism. T.R. Ingram has countered the notion that men, simply because they are men, have certain inalienable rights. He does not believe that. And other things in here. Find your books and begin to read about this. And this one's a very economical book, and it's excellent on the subject. Separation of church and state. We as Baptists believe that the state has no authority to come in here and tell us what to preach and how to practice what we believe the Bible teaches. But I believe that Baptists, above all, are honorable and want to obey the laws of man to the nth degree, as much as in us is, until it oversteps the boundary of God's word. We are not a rebellious society trying to overthrow the state. If anything, the Baptists have protected America for all these years. And that's the separation of church and state. Acts 5:26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them, Peter and the ones preaching, brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Did we not straitly command you not to teach? And that's what the courts are doing in America right now. Right now, we still have religious liberty. But the day's coming and getting very close. The ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, ungodly bunch, is already suing to ban prayers in public arenas because being closed in Jesus' name is offensive to many. And yet in our public schools, we see it online and different things. They're being taught to wear the headscarf, to bow down in prayer, and to read and understand the Quran and all that stuff like that. But yet, America's history, America's heritage is being pushed out. It's coming. Let's always cry out when something like that comes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Against those who would oppress and destroy, try to destroy our faith. So that's the BAPT, I, individual soul liberty, S, separation, church and state. Two ordinances. These are very important. We're familiar with them. And I'm going to quickly give you some information on this. Ordinances are not sacraments. Do you understand that other denominational churches, specifically Presbyterian and Lutheran and probably some Methodist, consider baptism and the Lord's Supper a sacrament? Now, what's a sacrament? It's a help to get you from where you're at over here to Christ. We don't need that. We're already there. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall. We're already there. The sacraments, they're not sacraments. They are given for the church to do in observance and memory. Two ordinances, baptism and Lord's Supper. That's the only two. Foot washing, some groups practice foot washing. I'm not going to argue with them about it, but I don't believe it's on the par with the Lord's Supper and baptism. In the early church history, let me read this. In reviewing the patristic doctrine of baptism, which was sanctioned by the Greek and Roman, with some important, I'm just going to tell you the essence of what this is. The Catholic Church, before the Catholic Church came into existence in the 300s, and even up during and until the middle of the Dark Ages, Catholics baptized by immersion. That's why when they excavate the old Catholic Church, there's always a baptismal pool in it, big enough to bury someone in baptism, because that was the biblical way of doing it. It was not until probably some pope along the way thought, well, we're having a water shortage, let's just take a little bit of water and do it. Well, if we're going to do that to adults, why don't we do it to kids, and let's bring the kids into the membership of the church while they're young, so that they're Catholics. They're never excommunicated unless the church excommunicates them. So they're lifelong Catholics. I can tell you this within my family. A Catholic lady who'd been a Catholic all of her life was attending a Baptist church, and someone made the comment to her about, we cannot go to the Catholic Church because we don't agree with them. Lifelong said, so what? We don't agree with them, most of a lot of the stuff they do. Member of the church said, we don't agree with them, but yet that's where their membership is. Idiotic. But the baptism, somewhere along the line, started sprinkling. And the Bible is very clear on baptism. Matthew 28:18 and following. John 3:23. John 2:41. Acts 8:36. Acts 8:38. Specifically, let's think of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The Spirit took Philip out and preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, see, here is water. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Believer's baptism. If you go down an unsaved person, you come up an unsaved person. Baptism is like putting on a wedding ring. It's an identity. So we see that. And then later on, they started baptizing infants, and that is absolutely contrary to the word. The Lord's Supper. There are three types of thoughts on the Lord's Supper. Open, close, and closed. Now, we as Baptists, we understand what the Lord's Supper is. It's a memorial that we do, the bread that we eat, and the grape juice that we take. It's not wine, it's grape juice. And it does not become part, or literally, the blood and body of Christ. I got so much here, but there's just not enough time to give it all to you. But there are three types. Open communion is not baptistic at all. Open communion is open to the world. If you're here and we're observing the Lord's Supper, please observe it with us. You've never been saved, you're still welcome. That's open communion. We oppose that with all of God's scripture. Amen. But then within the Baptist ranks, there are two thoughts. Close communion and closed communion. Now let me explain. We practice close communion. here at our church. That's what the church has chosen to do. And when we participate in the Lord's Supper, the pastor will make you aware that it is for born-again believers only. You don't have to be a member of our church. If you're visiting, like I preach in other churches, and some of them have the Lord's Supper, some of them are open to where I can participate with them, even though I'm not a member of their church. Closed communion are churches that believe that the Lord's Supper ought to be memorialized for believers only under the authority of a local church. And many of them do not have Lord's Supper on a Sunday. Some of the people that I fellowship with, they have Lord's Supper on the Tuesday before Easter, and then sometime around the Christmas. And they make a special big to-do about it. It's for church members only. That's called closed communion. Now, I'm not going to argue with open or closed, because both of them emphasize ye must be born again. It's only for the body of Christ to participate in. The Lord's Supper, it's a memorial to the Lord. It's a reminder to us, and it's a warning to the world to get right with God, because the end is coming. And the last S is a saved and baptized membership of the church. Let me read one thing, and then I'm not going to say much about this. Maria of Montjoy. It has always been true that they who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So it was with this eminently pious woman. Having, according to the requirement of scriptures, on a profession of faith in Jesus, been baptized by immersion and become a member of the body of Christ, and having for a long time conducted herself with holy consistency in the church and towards society in general, the hatred of the ungodly displayed itself. The magistrate, separation of church and state, here comes the magistrate of Manju, had a great dislike to this poor widow, and at length cast her in prison. She lay confined for more than a year. She was herself always diligent to present her body a living sacrifice. The magistrate, in every possible way, tempted her for 3 days, but could not induce her to renounce her faith and baptism. She firmly resolved to abide in Christ. I'm skipping through here. I'm hoping I'm hitting. When she went towards the... Oh, and they committed her to be drowned just because she was baptized and a member of church. Would not recant being rebaptized. She'd baptize a baby, rebaptized. When she went towards the water, she sang with a cheerful heart and rejoiced that so happy an hour had arrived. Thus, like her Lord, she went as a sheep to the slaughter. She remembered the testimony of the scriptures, they shall kill you and think they do God a service. Going along the road, she said, I've been the bride of an earthly bridegroom, but today I hope to be the bride of Christ and with him to inherit his kingdom. That's what it's coming to in America. Now, why, when you want to join our church, there's conditions for joining. Number one, a regenerate heart. You cannot be a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church if you have not professed a faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. A confession of faith, saying to the church, I've been saved, I want to be a member. That's why a preacher doesn't go out in the home and come back and say, I visited Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, they want to be a part of our church. No, you come and you make a public profession You don't have to speak, but by coming forward and letting the pastor know, and that's a public profession that you want to be a part of this church. Baptism by immersion. If you've been baptized in another church that is like faith, many times it'll be acceptable. But if you come from a church like the Catholic Church or the Church of Christ, any church that teaches baptismal regeneration, you're probably going to be required to be rebaptized as a result of your faith in Christ, because that's what Baptist baptism is, a commitment of all of a true walk and faith with Jesus Christ. That's why in the church we preach, we teach constantly over and over and over, commitment to God. You don't just come on Sunday and be a Sunday Christian and go home. If you do, you're robbing yourself, you're robbing your family. This is a 24/7 thing. You're a child of God. And doesn't mean that you're going around and you know, lording it over people. No, it means that you've got a Christ-like character about you. And you express the innermost things of a Christian to those who need to hear about it. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, tonight is the opportunity for you to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not to know about Him, not to have a little bit of hearsay there, but a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If I offered you this Bible as a gift, you'd say, man, that's a nice Bible. Got leather bindings, King James Bible, blah, 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 and so on. But you never reach out and take it. It's not yours. Salvation God offers freely to those who will receive. If you're here tonight, will you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Heavenly Father, so much that I didn't even get to say anything about tonight. I hope that I hit the highlights enough to whet some appetites to go home, get on their computers and Google Baptist history, Baptist names, ancient Baptists, medieval Baptists, modern Baptists, and do some personal study so that they can have the conviction in their heart of what's right and what's wrong. Help them be student of the Bible and use that as their guide. God, give us wisdom to understand. But there may be some here today that don't even have that beginning of wisdom because they've not yet received Jesus Christ. God, don't let anyone, not one person tonight, leave this auditorium without knowing Jesus Christ. Please, God, let them know we love them. Not going to point a finger at one. We just want them to know that they know, that they know that they have eternal life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.